This is Taking Aim with
Ralph Schoenman
and Maya Schoen. Our program today, Brzezinski breaks ranks over the pending nuclear attack on Iran. Target Iran. U.S. able to strike in the spring. So reports Ewan McAskill from Washington, D.C., for The Guardian in England on Saturday, February 10th. U.S. preparations for an airstrike against Iran are an advanced stage, states McAskill, in spite of repeated public denials by the Bush administration. The present military buildup in the Gulf would allow the United States to mount an attack by spring. Vincent Canestraro, former CIA director of counterinsurgency, agrees with McAskill's sources. He told McAskill, quote, planning is going on in spite of public disavowals by U.S. Defense Secretary Robert Gates. Targets have been selected. For a bombing campaign against nuclear sites, it is quite advanced. The military assets to carry this out are being put in place. And Canestraro added, we are planning for war. It is incredibly dangerous. Last month, President Bush ordered a second battle group led by the aircraft carrier USS John Stennis to the Gulf in support of the USS Eisenhower. The Jerusalem Post reported that the assault ship, also USS Bataan, steamed through the Suez Canal on its way to the Persian Gulf, that is, in the Gulf of Hormuz. The seven-vessel battle group includes 2,200 U.S. Marines and sailors, helicopters, and Harrier fighter jets. The aircraft carrier USS John Stennis, as I mentioned before, and its associated warships will arrive in the region later this month, joining the USS Dwight D. Eisenhower, which is already in the Gulf. In all, there are around 50 warships as well as hundreds of warplanes at President Bush's disposal. A comment in the French newspaper Le Figaro on January 27th noted that the two carrier groups, quote, the United States now has the ability to conduct an air offensive 24 hours a day for 30 to 40 days. It can rely on Bahrain and the huge air base in Qatar and its operational command center and the Diego Garcia base in the Indian Ocean. Diego Garcia is in the British Commonwealth, and it would rely on the U.S. base in Diego Garcia for supply. American satellites have identified reportedly 1,500 targets linked to the so-called Iranian nuclear weapons program, that is, the Iranian nuclear reactor program for power generation. No one doubts that considerable damage, states Le Figaro, would be inflicted on them, as well as industrial and oil targets. Ralph?
Well, Maya, we're talking here about nuclear bombs, nuclear attack. And this is not, as you indicate, something that's merely being done to intimidate Iran or to create a certain climate. On the contrary, as the article in The Guardian points out, the sure sign that preparations are underway can be cited. Mr. Bush has ordered oil reserves to be stockpiled. And as we will cite later with General Ivashov of Russia, those are the signal preparations for a pending attack. Colonel Sam Gardner, a former Air Force officer who was actually in charge of war games with Iran as the target, has stated that the airstrike, planning for the airstrike is underway. He says, Gates tells us there's no planning for war. This is not true. All the moves made over the last weeks are consistent with what we do when we are preparing airstrikes. Throw away the notion that the United States would not do it because it's tied up in Iraq. This is a devastating air operation. One of the main driving forces behind the war, apart from Cheney's office, is the American Enterprise Institute headquarters, which had actually coined the phrase for the Bush people and permanent war people, the Axis of Evil. And it is Bush who opted last month for the AEI plan to send additional troops to Iraq. Josh Muravchik, who is the Middle East so-called specialist at American Enterprise Institute, has stated that the plans for an airstrike are, quote, another matter. The danger of Iran having a nuclear weapon is not just what it used to be, but it is something that we have to deal with immediately. There is no way to stop this happening without major physical force. They are on target for this. In fact, it is spelled out by Raymond Tanter, founder of the Iran Policy Committee, which includes former officials of the White House, a leading advocate, and he spells out what they are going to do. Bunker-busting bombs with nuclear tips. They've already been sold to Israel. The Israelis are on standby for their use. Now, this euphemism about nuclear tipping is exactly that. These are nuclear weapons on the order of the Hiroshima and Nagasaki bombs that are going to be deployed and utilized throughout Iran.
Ralph, speaking of Colonel Sam Gardner, the military analyst who taught at the National War College before retiring from the Air Force in 1987, Gardner is quoted extensively in an article by Seymour Hersh that appeared in the April 17, 2006 issue of The New Yorker, The Iran Plans. Would President Bush go to war to stop Tehran from getting the bomb? And Hersh buys into the assumption that Iran is planning on constructing nuclear weapons, although he says it's way down the road. Still, he accepts that false premise. And in quoting Gardner, Hersh states, working from satellite photographs of known facilities, Gardner estimated at least 400 targets would have to be hit. And other military analysts say that the Pentagon has actually targeted 1,500 targets. But Gardner estimates that minimally there would be 400 targets. And he states, quote, I don't think a U.S. military planner would want to stop there. Iran probably has two chemical production plants. We would hit those. We would want to hit the medium-range ballistic missiles that have been moved closer to Iraq. There are 14 airfields with sheltered aircraft, and we'd want to get rid of that threat, too. We would want to hit the assets that could be used to threaten Gulf shipping. That means targeting the cruise missile sites and the Iranian diesel submarines. Some of the facilities may be too difficult to target, even with penetrating weapons. And by penetrating weapons, he's referring to the nuclear-tip bunker-busting weapons. The U.S. will have to use special operations units. Now, note that while everyone else is talking about an exclusive air war, Gardner, who arranges these military games for the Air Force, states special operations units on the ground would also have to be used. The tactical nuclear weapon, so-called tactlier, that is the bunker buster nuclear bomb, is the B-61-11 and has been devised to attack specifically underground nuclear sites, such as Iran's main centrifuge plant at Natanz, 200 miles south of Tehran. And Natanz is in a vicinity with a large population base. He states it's an underground floor space that could hold 50,000 centrifuges, although there's no evidence that Iran even has anywhere near that number. The latest estimate is 3,000 centrifuges. Laboratories and workspaces are buried approximately 75 feet beneath the surface. The conventional weapons in the U.S. arsenal could not ensure the destruction of facilities under 75 feet of earth and rock, especially if reinforced with concrete. Ralph.
Cyher spelled this out on the 30th of January. It's an article posted by Kat Schmidt. New Yorker's Cy Hirsch closed out a symposium on the war on terrorism, Where Do We Stand, with a scathing critique. The fact of the matter is that we have a government that will do whatever it wants to do for the next 2 years. The worst is yet to come. We are essentially powerless, and they will play it out, Hirsch stated. He stated Bush and his top aides have ignored the military intelligence presented to them on Iran's nuclear program. And he says that they are formulating plans for an airstrike against Iran and are preparing a nuclear-first strike. This is Cy Hirsch on the 30th of January. The president is making an order, and the military will object to it. It will be devastating, but when it comes down to it, he will do whatever he wants, Hirsch stated, referring to Bush. And he goes on to spell it out. They couldn't care less about what we write or what we do. They're immune to what the New York Times writes, what the New Yorker writes. He says, we in the press have failed you, he says to the public. We've missed the story. We've all missed it. Well, of course, he missed it because the mass media are controlled by corporate capitalism, and they do not allow the realities of what are the crimes against humanity from being that are being prepared from being amply documented. It is bloody and beyond belief, Hirsch stated, and the little beginning of what Hirsch is indicating has been spelled out, Maya, in that article that you were citing by Hugh and McCaskill in The Guardian. There's an important quotation from George Bush on National Public Radio. If, he said, Iran escalates its military action in Iraq to the detriment of our troops, we will respond, and firmly. And Cheney adds, Iran is fishing in troubled waters. And Philip Giraldi, who is the former CIA counterterrorism specialist, states, it's absolutely parallel. They're using the same dance steps. They're demonizing the same bad guys. There's the same pretext of diplomacy. They are preparing for war. It is Iraq Redux.
Ralph, before we go into the extensive fabrication campaign that is being waged by the Bush administration, I'd like to go back to the actual preparations that are taking place in military bases around the world. We mentioned the Qatar base. Diego Garcia is a supply unit and the operations in the Gulf, and the bringing in of the aircraft carriers. And it's not just one carrier itself, which contains the airplanes, but all the subsidiary warships that go along with it. The Sunday Herald, January 28th, Sunday, had an article that showed the extent of the administration's preparations for nuclear strike.
Yes, America. These are advanced operational plans. I mean, the military apparatus is in place.
Gabriel Roné, Sunday Herald in the UK, America poised to strike at Iran's nuclear sites from bases in Bulgaria and Romania. President Bush is preparing to attack Iran's nuclear facilities before the end of April, again confirming what The Guardian states, April. And April is the last month of Tony Blair's occupancy as a prime minister in Great Britain. And the U.S. Air Force bases, U.S. new bases in Bulgaria and Romania would be used as backup in the onslaught, according to an official report from Sofia.
The Bulgarian news agency Novinite has confirmed that the air bases Bulgaria and on the Romanian Black Sea coast are in operational mode for an attack on Iran in April.
That's right. And the as well as Bulgaria and Romania, the U.S. has been beefing up the Italian bases and has acquired anti-missile defense bases in the Czech Republic and in Poland. The setting up of refueling for U.S. stealth bombers is a major part of the defense buildup. The USAF's positioning of vital refueling facilities for its B-2 bombers in unusual places, including Bulgaria, falls within the perspective of such an attack, stated Novinite. And they named again Sam Gardner, the colonel from who had worked at the U.S. Military War College.
But he's more than that. He's a Secret Service officer who was stationed in Bulgaria. So Gardner is speaking from specific information pertaining to the deployment of these bases as the imminent locus for the air attacks that are to be unleashed in April. And the before the end of March, 3,000 U.S. specialist personnel are scheduled to arrive at America's Bulgarian bases. The air base at Bezhma, the second airfield at Grav Ignatievo, a shooting range in Novoselo. These bases are in standby preparation. And then Romania, the other Black Sea host, is enjoying what is called a dollar bonanza. It is, as the report makes clear, the Mikhail Koganisianu base at Constanta is being transformed on a crash basis into an American plasdarm, a center for the armed assault. It is vital to the Iran scenario. These are the specifics. The antecedent prerequisites for a war are now in place, along with the major increase in the oil reserves that has been ordered by Bush. These are the sure telltale signs of imminent preparation.
And, Ralph, as we have been saying for the last 3 years, the issue is not if, it is when. And when is what the military analysts are saying is right now on the drawing boards. And this is despite the will of the American people opposed to the war in Iraq and certainly to an escalation of this war into Iran and further into the region of the Middle East. Yet, within the ranks of the ruling class, we also have a split. And this is most poignantly revealed by the testimony of Zbigniew Brzezinski. Zbigniew Brzezinski, the former national security advisor to President Carter, the man who orchestrated the Iraqi invasion of Iran, the author of the Grand Chessboard, that is, the promoter, the designer of the strategy for U.S. imperial domination of Central Asian republics. Zbigniew Brzezinski went before the Senate Foreign Relations Committee on February 1st, 2007, on Thursday, February 1st, and launched what the World Socialist website called a political bombshell, a bombshell that was ignored by all major media in the United States.
Well, it is incredible as to what Brzezinski has laid out here. Just to reiterate what you had said, Denaya, I want to remind our listeners who are familiar with the historic reporting we've been doing on Taking Aim, President Carter, who had Brzezinski as his national security advisor, on August 25, 1977, had issued a secret presidential directive, PD-18, preparing for a rapidly mobilized strike force capable of immediate intervention in the Middle East and to seize the oil-producing areas of the Gulf. Now, Brzezinski was central to that plan, even as he was central to the formation of the Central Intelligence Agency-inspired fundamentalist units of Osama bin Laden and Gulbuddin Hekmatyar in Afghanistan when they were preparing to destabilize the former Soviet Union. And to put this in its context, the Brookings Institution in 1978, when Carter was making these plans, had prepared a document called U.S. Forces, Armed Forces as a Political Instrument for the Defense Department's Advanced Research Projects Agency. 215 times between 1946 and 1975, the armed forces were used to seize resources of other countries. In fact, the United States used the threat of nuclear weapons 19 times on 19 specific occasions during that period. And the U.S. Armed Forces were utilized an average of 7.2 times a year between 1946 and 1975, and once a month from 1956 to 1965. We have to be clear that Mr. Brzezinski is an architect of imperial intervention. And indeed, the man, along with his master, Jimmy Carter, specifically responsible for organizing the Iraqi attack on Iran after the Iranian Revolution, Saddam Hussein's invasion with U.S. direction and support, the result of which was over 1 million casualties. So we have to understand that this testimony by Brzezinski is coming from an insider in the ruling class imperial establishment. And that underlines this extraordinary meaning of what Brzezinski stated to the Senate Foreign Relations Committee.
Ralph, the Senate Foreign Relations Committee chair, Senator Lugar, had called in Brzezinski and also Brent Scowcroft, who had been the national security advisor to Republican presidents Gerald Ford and George H.W. Bush, ostensibly to talk about the buildup of U.S. troops in Iraq. And what Brzezinski went on to state categorically is that, as well as opposing the war in Iraq, which he stated was a historic, strategic, and moral calamity undertaken under false assumptions.
Well, Maya, this is critical. Please.
He went on to move right away to attack the U.S. attack on Iran.
Well, let's look at the terms under which he has done this. He specifically denied that the so-called war on terror has any validity or content of reality. He said this is, in fact, a war of choice, a historic, strategic, and moral calamity. It is undertaken under false assumptions. Its collateral civilian casualties will be unbelievable. Driven by Manichaean principles and imperial hubris, it will intensify regional and global instability. Brzezinski ridiculed Bush's talk of a war on terror and a decisive ideological struggle against Islam. He says it is simplistic, it is demagogic, it is mythical, and it is all designed to justify a protracted and expanding war. He says to argue that the United States is already at war in the region with a so-called Islamic threat, of which Iran is at the epicenter, Brzezinski stated, is to promote a false and self-fulfilling prophecy. And the most stunning aspect of what Brzezinski stated was that Bush and this administration and its supporters in the military are prepared for a military assault upon Iran. And he said the Iraqi failure to meet the benchmarks, that is to say, to meet any kind of criteria of being able to sustain this government, sustain itself in the face of the resistance, is going to be followed by accusations of Iranian responsibility for the failure and by a provocation by the United States government. Listen carefully, brothers and sisters. Brzezinski at the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. The Bush administration, the United States government, is preparing a provocation and a terrorist act in the United States, which will be blamed on Iran, to claim falsely that the United States is responding in a defensive posture. An unmistakable warning to the Congress of the United States from Brzezinski, in which he states that the United States will manufacture a provocation, including a terrorist attack within the United States, to create a false casus belli for war. For such a person as Brzezinski, with his role in the top echelons of the foreign policy establishment, with the closest link to the military and intelligence agencies, to state specifically that the government of the United States is engaged in such acts as 9/11, attacks within the United States that are, in fact, conducted by the United States itself, and then blamed on its intended victims, is historic.
And Ralph, he goes on to state, quote, a mythical historical narrative to justify the case for such a protracted and potentially expanding war. And he's explicit by the expansion, saying that it would eventually range across Iraq, Iran, Afghanistan, and Pakistan. He states that this case, for this mythical case for a protracted and potentially expanding war is already being articulated, initially justified by false claims about WMDs, that's weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. The war is now being redefined as, quote, the decisive ideological struggle of our time, reminiscent of the earlier collisions with Nazism and Stalinism. And by that, he's referring to James Woolsey's coining of World War IV.
He goes on to say something extraordinarily important in this testimony. Brzezinski blew the whistle on the meeting between Prime Minister Tony Blair and George Bush 2 months before the war on Iraq. Brzezinski, the president stated that there may not be weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, and therefore they must provide a different basis for undertaking the action. And Brzezinski goes on, I will read you what this memorandum states. The memorandum states that the president and prime minister acknowledged that no unconventional weapons are inside Iraq, and so they discussed spectacular ways to provoke a confrontation. And Brzezinski states, he described the ways in which that could be done. The ways are quite sensational, at least one of them.
And, Ralph, we went back
and we
to
looked up
the,
that memorandum.
That's right. We went back to the New York Times article to which Zbigniew Brzezinski refers, and that's by Don Van Natter, Jr., March 27, 2006, The Reach of War, Leaders. Bush was set on the path to war, memo by British advisors says. And this was a meeting that was attended by six of the top aides of Bush and Blair. It was a private two-hour meeting in the Oval Office of the White House, January 31st, 2003, in which Bush made clear to Prime Minister Tony Blair of Britain that he was determined to invade Iraq without a second United Nations resolution, or even if international arms inspectors failed to find unconventional weapons, which was the supposed basis for an attack on Iraq. And the New York Times reviewed the memo and stated explicitly, the start date for the military campaign was penciled in as March 10th. In fact, it began March 19th during that Wednesday night. Several of the highlights of the memo were first published in Lawless World, written by Philippe Sands, and then Channel 4 in London broadcast several excerpts from the memo. But it was the New York Times that really gave the explosive news of what President Bush had talked about in this secret meeting. One, as you were mentioning, in terms of provoking a confrontation with Iraq. One, it included a proposal to paint a United States surveillance plane in the colors of the United Nations in hopes of drawing fire. Two, an explicit proposal that the United States would assassinate Saddam Hussein. And three, that the United States would bring out a defector who would report on the presence of weapons of mass destruction in Iraq.
Well, what's Iraq. Most important about this, because this is a memorandum that Brzezinski is exposing, and he talks about a sensational plan. You know what that sensational plan is? It's Operation Northwoods Redux. Just as in 1962, Operation Northwoods called for planes crashing into buildings and the assassinating of U.S. citizens carried out by the United States military clandestinely and imputed to Fidel Castro and the Cuban Revolution, so indeed Operation Northwoods Redux was openly discussed by Bush and Blair, and that included, as you mentioned, assassinating Saddam Hussein, but also a United States surveillance plane in the false colors of the United Nations, which would draw fire, all right, from the United States itself. They would shoot down their own plane. It would be painted with the colors of the United Nations. It would be imputed to Iraq. And the significance of this, apart from the disclosure by Brzezinski and official testimony of this plan for a false flag operation involving attacks on the United States by the United States and imputed to Iraq and now intended to be done again with respect to Iran, Bush was accompanied that meeting by Condoleezza Rice, National Security Advisor, by Dan Fried, the senior aide to Rice, and Andrew H. Carr, the White House Chief of Staff. Blair was there with his two senior aides, his Chief of Staff, Jonathan Powell, and Matthew Rycroft, a foreign policy specialist. This is an expose of decisions of treason at the top, past with respect to Iraq, present with respect to Iran, and future with regard to a planned attack in the United States, blamed on so-called terrorists, blamed on Iran, and carried out by the United States government itself. Brzezinski.
Ralph will return after this brief station identification.
Hi, this is Lloyd Price, and you're tuned to WBAI New York. Listener-supported, non-commercial radio.
We're here, we're back, we're on the block, the Barrio Block with Ibrahim Gonzalez,
Nando Alberici,
and Mickey Melendez, music and issues of the Latino community, politics, social commentaries, and cultural events.
On the Barrio Block every Sunday from 2 to 4 p.m.
All happening on WBAI 99.5 FM in New York, streaming audio on WBAI.org.
You are listening to Taking Aim with
Ralph Schoenman
and Maya Schoen. Our program today, Brzezinski breaks ranks over the pending nuclear attack on Iran. Ralph.
Well, Maya, the question is posed, how did the media respond to this bombshell testimony of the former National Security Advisor Zbigniew Brzezinski before the Senate Foreign Relations Committee? They blacked it out. The New York Times, The Washington Post, The Wall Street Journal, USA Today, they reported on the testimony of everybody but Brzezinski. They reported on Brent Scowcroft's testimony, in which this putative opponent of the war being escalated stated that he was opposed to U.S. withdrawal and in favor of increased troops. They reported on Henry Kissinger's support for the Bush policies and stating that until they could stabilize Iraq with a military plan, there was no question of any withdrawal. And they blacked out Brzezinski's testimony. And only the Associated Press gave a desultory report. And I have to say that the Herald Tribune actually did give an abbreviated report on what Brzezinski said.
Because they picked up the Associated Press report.
Yes, but they also edited it to remove the references to a false flag staged operation, a terrorist act in the United States, authored by the United States government itself. The ruling class and the media that are controlled by the ruling class are not prepared to oppose what a whole wing of capital regards as reckless endangerment, namely a nuclear attack on Iran. They are like deer with paralyzed before the headlights of an onrushing truck. They are collusive, they are impotent, and they will do anything rather than to undermine the credibility of a criminal ruling class before the people of the United States, because they understand what Brzezinski has done. Brzezinski, because he considers this to be a course of action that will set in motion such vast forces within the Middle East and the region at large, such vast and historic mobilizations of the masses against their collaborative rulers and against U.S. imperial policy itself, that the prospect of revolutionary change will be on the agenda. Brzezinski understands.
Ralph.
This is reckless endangerment of the ruling classes for long-term interests, and yet such is the degeneration of capitalism that this rush towards major global war and permanent war with the concomitant massive repression at home, the staged actions at home that will lead to, without any question, martial law, This is the scenario that is being played out relentlessly. Brzezinski is stating, pull back. Our way is the better way. Have puppets. You use assassination units, but you do not make major occupation of these countries. We can't sustain this anymore.
Ralph, there is a sector of the ruling class that is looking for the total destabilization of the region. As you have spoken about and written about over and again with the Odidignan plan for destabilizing and segmenting the area, the Middle East, and what Brzezinski is saying, it goes beyond the Middle East to Central Asia. The Zionist plan, the Mossad plan for breakup of each and every nation of the Middle East into its ethnic and religious components to be able to control the resources and to prevent the national integrity of these nations. And there is a sector of the ruling class and a sector of the military, a partial sector of the military that is aligned with President Bush that promotes this plan. And yet there is a sector of the military that is afraid to speak out because of their positions in the military that is opposed to this plan. And Brzezinski is taking the lead in terms of a former national security advisor and being and an architect himself of the destabilization of the Central Asian region, of saying stop now because you don't know what you're getting into.
No, what Brzezinski is doing, Maya, after all, as you say, Brzezinski is the architect with the grand chessboard of securing control over the oil and natural gas resources of this entire region, and of destabilizing those governments that they need to decompose.
In fact, Ralph, the breakup of the Soviet Union.
Breakup of the Soviet Union. Now, the Odidignan plan, which we documented in Iraq and Kuwait history, suppressed and particularly in the hidden history of Zionism, which was in the late 1970s, called for the fragmentation of each Middle East country ad seriatim into its ethnic and religious components. This is a Zionist and Israeli plan which became the linchpin of imperial policy and the rationale for the war on terror. It's the ideological integument of the dependence of on capitalism of permanent arms and permanent war. And indeed, the trillions of dollars that are now integrated within Pentagon capital, which is the lifeline of a capitalism heading into the future of fascist rule at home and permanent war abroad. And the Brzezinski response to the meaning of this now in Iran is to say, we can do it differently. We can destabilize these regimes with blockades. We can have counter-revolution on the cheap. But after what has occurred in Iraq, if you go forward with what you're planning to do in Iran, if you stage yet another false flag operation, a new 9/11, as you are clearly planning to do, and he openly exposes this, what Brzezinski is, the subtext of his warning to Congress is, you are preparing for a revolutionary transformation, a destabilization of the capitalist order in the long term that we will never be able to contain. They are both correct. They're damned if they do and they're damned if they don't. And the evidence is massive that no matter what this wind of capital that is asking for a more nuanced policy of control is putting forward will have no impact whatsoever. Here is...
Ralph, before you do that, because I want to go to something that we were going to discuss at the end of the show, but it is a key to what you're talking about with permanent war, and that is the financial basis. Because an article in the Sunday Telegraph of February 11th states, Gulf states load up on weapons of war. $60 billion to be spent by the Gulf states It's a product of the oil price bonanza. And this is the Gulf states only. This is not the United States, where in the Bush budget is a large increase in the military budget and the discussion of even a permanent war tax. And what it says here is that the Gulf leaders intend to use billions of dollars of oil revenue to purchase a huge array of military hardware. Now, after the first Gulf War, they earmarked a couple of billion dollars, and the expectation was maybe $10 billion to be spent now, but in fact, the estimates are $60 billion, and the list for Saudi Arabia alone, there's a shopping list that runs almost to $50 billion, fighter aircraft, cruise missiles, attack helicopters, 300 new tanks, the United Arab Emirates, a very small country, it's not even a country, earmarked $2 billion for a rapid reaction brigade. And Kuwait, Bahrain, Qatar are expected to spend heavily in the coming months. And this is all going to take place at a massive arms fair that is taking place in the United Arab Emirates next week with 45,000 delegates. 45,000 delegates. So many people showing up at the IDEX exhibition that two ships were rented because there isn't enough hotel space.
Bush and the Joint Chiefs of Staff have told Congress that the amount of weaponry that had to be deployed and already used in Iraq means that they will need to renew the United States military on a scale that has never been approached before. They're talking about short-term $3 trillion of increase in outlays to the American military. Just a few days ago, 2 days ago in Munich, President Putin of Russia confronted United States representatives and those of NATO with a remarkable speech in which he stated that the United States is engaged in a reckless imperial reach that threatens world war, including with Russia. He stated that there is no constraining the military appetite of American imperialism and that there is almost no precedent for the recklessness with which the United States is now embarking on a course of world destruction and world domination. There was no diplomacy about this Putin speech. It's a measure of the response from a former head of the KGB and a corrupt official like Putin, who's presided over the looting of Russia's resources by this kleptocracy, in the league with the United States, breaking ranks in the manner of Brzezinski. Let's look at the actual content of what is being prepared here. Here is the editor-in-chief of the Arab Times, who writes on January 14th, United States military strike on Iran will occur by April 7th. This is based upon inside military and intelligence sources. Washington will launch its nuclear and military strike on Iran before April 2007. The attack will be launched from the sea, and Patriot missiles will be guarding oil-producing countries in the region. And he states that Bush has held a meeting with Vice President Dick Cheney, Defense Secretary Robert Gates, Secretary of State Dr. Condoleezza Rice, where they have discussed to the most minute detail the imminent plan to attack Iran. Vice President Dick Cheney highlighted the threat posed by Iran, and he stated, Tehran is not playing politics. Iranian leaders are using their country's influence to support an aggressive ambition to expand. And the article continues to say they have chosen April because British Prime Minister Tony Blair has stated it will be the last month in office for him, as you indicated, and the United States has to take action against Iran and Syria before April 2007, and this inside article by Ahmed Al-Jarrah, editor-in-chief of the Arab Times, specifies that Gates and Rice had first suggested postponing the attack to later in the spring, but Bush and Cheney have insisted on attacking Iran by April without any hesitation.
Ralph, you spoke before of Putin and the open, harsh words he had to say. General Leonid Ivashov, Vice President of the Academy on Geopolitical Affairs in Russia, Chief of the Department for General Affairs in the Soviet Union's Ministry of Defense, Secretary of the Council of Defense Ministers of the Community of Independent States, that's the CIS, the Chief of the Military Cooperation Department of the Russian Federation's Ministry of Defense, and the Joint Chief of Staff of the Russian Armies, General Leonid Ivashov. Ivashov, on Global Research, an article, January 24th, 2007, which is republished from the Strategic Cultural Foundation in Russia. Iran must get ready to repel a nuclear attack. An extremely important article that I suggest you all read.
Well, Maya, the article is very specific, and it is stating that the entire planet is now within the sights of the United States ruling class. The United States has adopted irreversibly a plan to partition Iraq into three warring pseudo-states. Washington reckons that what is called controlled chaos is required to enable to dominate Persian Gulf oil and all strategically important oil transportation routes. And Ivashov spells out the use of nuclear weapons against Iran, the second case of the use of nuclear weapons in combat after the 1945 U.S. attack on Japan is in fact aimed at the entire world. Anybody who resists U.S. hegemony, anybody who does not comply with domination of their resources, anybody who indeed seeks to preserve the national integrity of their particular state will be targeted with nuclear attack. He states the Israeli military and political circles have been making statements on a nuclear and missile attack on Iran openly since October 2006. And he states these plans are now in place. They are imminent. And he states that the attack on Iran will be using the air delivery of nuclear munitions, and he spells out the military apparatus, cruise missiles carried by U.S. aircraft, as well as ships and submarines and ballistic missiles will be used. The nuclear strikes will be followed by air raids from aircraft carriers and by missile and other means of attacks. Iran is targeted for the destruction of its infrastructure, to reverse the development of the country, to cause unlimited panic, to create political, economic, and military chaos, to be accomplished by using nuclear and subsequently unparalleled arsenal of conventional means of bombing and saturation bombing. And that is the purpose of the aircraft carrier grouping being brought close to the Iranian coast. He elaborates on the magnitude of destruction.
Ralph, and something very important in the Ivashov article that isn't addressed by others is his evaluation of the world response. And I thought this was incredibly perceptive, because how can the U.S. take this route of a nuclear attack upon Iran, a sovereign state and a nation that is doing business with much of Europe and Russia? After all, it is Russia that has supplied and built the nuclear reactor facilities in Iran. And he says, Europe will react in essentially the same way as it did in the case of aggression against Yugoslavia, and that is the breakup of Yugoslavia. Possibly the negative reaction of China and several other countries to the nuclear aggression will be stronger. He says possibly. But in any case, there will be no retaliation nuclear strike on the U.S. forces. The U.S. is absolutely sure of this. The United Nations means nothing in this context. Having failed to condemn the aggression against Yugoslavia, the UN Security Council effectively shared the responsibility. And speaking of Israel, it's sure to come under Iranian missile strikes. Possibly Hezbollah and the Palestinian resistance will be more active, but there is the assessment that this will be a feeble reaction. The U.S. has decidedly thought of what might be international reaction and has concluded that it has a carte blanche to do what it wants anywhere in the world anytime it decides to do it.
Well, Maya, the essential component of this story, and it's a section that we will have to spell out in more detail in part two, but I want to begin the discussion of it now, is the manufacture of false evidence to sustain this imperial design. Here is the Peninsula, the Peninsula, which is the leading publication of Qatar in the Gulf, U.S. fabricating evidence against Iran. This is the February 11th report. Iran's top nuclear negotiator, Ali Larijani, has spelled out that the United States is fabricating evidence against Iran, and that evidence includes the claim that a particular type of IED, explosive device, is being supplied and manufactured from Iran. Now, the press has been full of this, but here is a very important demonstration of the nature of this campaign of lies. The New York Times on February 10th carried an article by Michael R. Gordon, "The deadliest bomb in Iraq is made by Iran. The most lethal weapon directed against American troops in Iraq is an explosive packed cylinder that the United States intelligence assets have established as supplied by Iran. There's broad agreement among American intelligence agencies regarding this. The focus of Americans' concern is an explosively formed penetrator, a particularly deadly type of roadside bomb used by Shiite groups in attacks on American troops. In the last 3 months, attacks using the weapons accounted for a significant portion of Americans killed." And Robert Gates went on to say that 70% of U.S. casualties in Iraq are the result of this weaponry that is manufactured by Iran and supplied by Iran. In fact, Robert Gates, the defense secretary, stated in Seville, Spain, that they have the serial numbers and markings on the weapon fragments that establish Iran as the source. Based on forensic analysis of materials recovered in Iraq, Iran is the producer of these items.
Ralph, and also there is the planted story of a detainee who is identified as an Iranian operative as having supplied the detainee identified an Iranian operative as having supplied two of the bombs, and that the border crossing at Mehran was a major crossing point for the smuggling of money and weapons for the Shiite militants, according to anonymous intelligence sources.
Well, now just consider this, Maya. Not only do they have the Secretary of Defense, Robert Gates, but Admiral William Fallon, the head of the Central Command, stated that the weapons supplied by Iran can punch through the side of armored Humvees. And he stated that they can take out an Abrams tank like a knife through butter. And this entire orchestrated article by Michael R. Gordon presents a drumbeat of highest level U.S. political and military assertion that Iran is responsible for 70% of the casualties of the United States in Iraq. Now, here is the other bombshell that we're going to drop with respect to this entire orchestrated scenario. Who is Michael R. Gordon of the New York Times?
The Pentagon correspondent, the chief military correspondent for the New York Times.
Greg Mitchell, of editor and publisher, has disclosed that Michael R. Gordon is the same New York Times reporter who co-authored with Judith Miller the entire fake evidence about weapons of mass destruction in Iraq that led to the attack on Iraq. Michael Gordon, the same author of this fabricated evidence, wrote with Judith Miller in the New York Times, September 8, 2002, that Saddam Hussein had aluminum tubes that were preparatory for nuclear weapons They went into great detail about having sighted and specified the dimensions, specifications, and numbers of the aluminum tubes that were preparatory for a nuclear weapons attack by Iraq. And indeed, in the article by Michael Gordon, the same Michael Gordon, Judith Miller, they specified that the White House was very concerned about the Times report, and that is the genesis of the famous statement by Condoleezza Rice that they cannot wait until there is a mushroom cloud over the United States with respect to the pending nuclear attack by Saddam Hussein, based upon the reports by who? Judith Miller and Michael Gordon.
Specifically, Gordon and Miller had written, quote, in the last 14 months, Iraq has sought to buy thousands of specifically designed aluminum tubes, which American officials believe were intended as components of centrifuges to enrich uranium. American officials said several efforts to arrange the shipment of the aluminum tubes were blocked or intercepted, but declined to say, citing the sensitivity of the intelligence, where they came from, or how they were stopped.
Now, Judith Miller works for the American Enterprise Institute. Not only is she a purported reporter of the New York Times, but she has been exposed. She has been exposed by Elaine Kassell with respect to her presence during the interrogation of Palestinian-American Abu Ali, who is charged with being a terrorist, reportedly presenting evidence about this in an article in the New York Times. Judith Miller was actually participating in the Mossad's torture and interrogation of Abu Ali as an intelligence operative. What about the weapons for mass destruction article that was reported with respect to Iraq and the aluminum tubes? The Washington Post exposes that she was doing this for the Defense Intelligence Agency, that she was present during the interrogation of a so-called Iraqi informant, i.e. the torture of that Iraqi informant. You have here in Judith Miller, not just an intelligence operative of the Mossad and the Defense Intelligence Agency, but a person who participates in the interrogation and torture of individuals whose false testimony exacted under torture is then presented as a factual article in the New York Times, her co-author in this conspiracy of intelligence planting of false information, Michael Gordon, in the February 10th issue of the New York Times, is the lead orchestrator of this lying campaign of disinformation designed to prepare us for the pending nuclear attack on Iran. Here you have the expose through Brzezinski's bombshell of the false flag nature of the crimes against the people of the United States, the treason at the top that 9/11 represents, the statement that this is what they have done, and that this is what they are preparing to do, brothers and sisters. It is all clear. It comes together. It is a criminal ruling class waging war against humanity with the media in tow. We cannot resist these people by pleading with them. They have to be overthrown.
Ralph, we will continue next week. This has been Taking Aim with
Ralph Schoenman
and Maya Schoen. Our program today, Brzezinski Breaks Ranks Over the Pending Nuclear Attack on Iran, was recorded February 12, 2007. We'll be with you next week. Meanwhile, our programs are archived on our website, www.takingaimradio.com. And you can reach us at takingaim@pacbell.net.
We'll be back next week with more of the same, brothers and sisters.